Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Law.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week and a new month here on the program. Welcome back from our Thanksgiving break. Hope that you had a good one. Hope you were able to have a nice Thanksgiving meal and some time with your family and some time to relax. I certainly took advantage of the opportunity to sleep in each day. Try to get caught up with sleep so that by the end of this week, I'll feel like I am already behind again. But hopefully you had a nice relaxing weekend, got to have some fun, started to get in the holiday spirit. Hopefully you didn't consume any cucumbers on your Thanksgiving plate. It's funny because we had, you know, I arrived relatively close to the start of the meal at my sister's house, so I didn't really indulge in any appetizers. Normally, I probably wouldn't anyway. I had a few shrimp cocktail, but I didn't get involved in the veggies and the dip. Wanted to save room for the main course, but there were cucumbers on that tray. I don't know if they were sun-fed, but that's the name of the brand, I guess, or the ones you got to be careful of. So basically, if you have these cucumbers that were sold in bulk cardboard containers that include a sun-fed label and then generic white boxes and black plastic crates that include a sticker with the text, well, you wouldn't know what that says anyway because you're just buying the cucumbers in the store. But they would have those little stickers on them, and if they say sun-fed, toss them. In fact, it might be better to just toss them anyway to be safe because the recall is in effect for cucumbers that were purchased in Massachusetts. So if you bought them in Rhode Island, you might be okay, but certainly they were sold in Massachusetts. So the recall has been initiated on these, and I don't know how much they're going to recall these. Like, you can bring them back, according to the notice, you can bring them back for a refund to the store where you purchased them. But, I mean, are you going to go back to the store for, I don't know, $1, $2 on a cucumber? I mean, I guess if you're going to the store anyway, why not? But it says you should either throw them away, destroy them, or return them to the point of purchase for a refund. And you don't want to take the chance because it's a salmonella outbreak. And if you've never had salmonella or if you've ever experienced that before, you know it's not something that you want to go through again if you can help it. So avoid those cucumbers, especially if they are, you know, if you definitely have the sticker on them, say sun-fed, yeah, don't use them. if you're not sure, if they don't have a sticker, don't take the chance. And cucumbers are something that were probably on a lot of Thanksgiving plates. You know, not on the main course, but probably out there for a lot of appetizers. I don't know many folks that have salad on Thanksgiving, but if you had a salad, that might be part of it. Most people I know just, you know, they have like nibbly snacks and then they have the main course. But if you had a salad course and there were cucumbers on it, I hope everything works out all right for you. So we have a lot that we can discuss here on the program this morning, a lot to catch up on. You heard Phil sharing some of those news stories. We're still waiting for more details to come from Attleboro Public Schools about that situation in which a teacher apparently slapped two students at an elementary school. And there wasn't a lot of information provided when that story came out, which I believe was Thanksgiving Eve. They released that information, which it had happened the day before. And I'm just taking a look at when the I'm just trying to see what time they had released that, but I don't see the release in the email. Oh, right here. Yeah, Wednesday, 11/27, 9:08 p.m. So talk about trying to, you know, bury the news. We're talking in the news business about what we call the Friday news dump, which is where you get a whole bunch of press releases that are sent out, you know, between like 3 and 5 p.m. on Friday. And it's usually stuff that was days old at that point. Like, why didn't I get this on Wednesday when it happened? But this was 9:08 on Thanksgiving Eve. And granted, they were conducting an investigation. They were working with the police department. And also, they use a service that handles their public relations. As so many municipal departments around here use now. Police departments, fire departments, school departments. They use this John Guilfoyle Public Relations, which is probably hugely helpful for them, but horrible for the people in the media. The John Guilfoyle people, it's no slight against them. But when you are reaching out to somebody for information, they're like, we're going to have a release on that. Well, yeah, but can you just answer these questions? And then you have more questions and you got to send them to the public relations firm and then they got to go and ask. It's a huge hassle. It's a huge impediment to getting you the news and information. And then therefore every news outlet gets the same story because they all get the same press release. And 9 times out of 10, most of those outlets just copy and paste the press release because it's not worth trying to get more information to go through all of those steps. You spend years developing sources and talking to people within organizations, and then when something like that, well, you know, we'll have a press release on that. Wait for the press release. Contact the people. And when the horrible tragedy happened a year ago with Paul Kader here at on Schoonickneck Road, I showed up there ahead of the PR people and I was telling them information. So it's not the best form anyway of getting information out, but now you're also adding them into the mix. So now you need somebody who's on a holiday schedule for that company to write this press release. So it's no surprise that it came out at 9:08 on a Wednesday night. But I also think some of that was by design, because you think you can mitigate the story a bit and then hope that it goes away by the time Monday rolls around. But I don't think it's going to go away. The teacher, who was unnamed, had a physical altercation with two students in the classroom in which the teacher allegedly slapped the two students. The teacher has been placed on administrative leave, and the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families, as well as the Attleboro Police Department, were involved. But that's still all the information that we have. We'll keep an eye on that, and if any more information does come about, we will let you know. And then we have the story that Phil also mentioned in the news about the New Bedford fire, in which 15 people were displaced. This happened early yesterday morning, just before 6 a.m. The fire department responded to Nelson Street for a reported structure fire. And there were working smoke alarms in the building. And that allowed for the people in the three-story, six-unit home to be able to evacuate. And the fire department arrived in time to be able to contain the fire to just the first floor, where it began. Twelve adults, three children displaced by the fire. Of course, the Red Cross helping out. And the fire has already been ruled accidental. And if you remember, you know, that Thanksgiving fire from a few years ago where somebody was frying a turkey and that tragedy. You know, if we have a fire over Thanksgiving weekend and everybody is safe, that's a Thanksgiving weekend blessing for sure. So those are some of the big local stories that happened over the weekend. Of course, on the national scale, President Joe Biden pardoning his son, Hunter Biden, after saying previously that he would not do that. But then saying in his statement, you know, kind of in summation, this was all political. He was railroaded. This is the right thing to do. Basically trying to express that he would do this even if he wasn't his father. But I don't know how many people would believe that. But hey, Donald Trump pardoned his son-in-law's father. So it's not like it's unprecedented. And we'll see, you know, what Joe Biden does in the last just under 2 months of his presidency. So we can talk about all that and more. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails over the on the WBSM app. I hope that you enjoyed the broadcasting of Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving. I happened to catch the noon broadcast. I was still asleep when 9 o'clock rolled around. And I was already engaged in family activities by 3. But I did catch the noon airing. We did have I probably should have had one more airing of it a little bit later on. But I didn't leave on Thanksgiving night until, well, it was probably right around 6 p.m., the time they would have played it. And then I said, I'm not going to the movies. There was nothing that I really wanted to see. I suppose I would have gone to Gladiator 2. But I don't know if I should see Gladiator 1 again because it's been a while. They're probably not connected at all, being, you know, 20 years apart, but 20 plus years apart. But I eventually just decided to go home and go to sleep. And I slept for about 12 hours. Must have been a very filling Thanksgiving meal. Actually, I slept for about 12 hours almost every night this weekend. But the holiday movie take was record-setting. And I heard Kevin Carr talking about it this morning coming in. The Moana 2 actually set a Thanksgiving weekend record, breaking the weekend record, the Thanksgiving weekend record of Frozen 2, which was 5 years ago. So pre-pandemic, back before people stopped going to the movies. And as you know, movie theaters have struggled to get the crowds back that they might have had pre-pandemic. At first, it was people not wanting to go to the movie theater. Just saying, yeah, I don't think that's a great environment to be in when the virus was still around. But what happened was, is as that happened, the movie started becoming available on demand sooner and sooner. And so then people decided, well, what am I going to go to the movies for when I could just wait a month and see it at home? And that's pretty much the pattern that the movies follow now. One of the movies I thought I would go see over Thanksgiving weekend was Conclave. It was already pulled from the theaters by the time Thanksgiving weekend rolled around because it's now available for rent at home for $20, which if two people were going to go to the movies to see that movie on Thanksgiving night, you're going to pay $30 just to get in, plus concessions if you have any of those. Where at home, you're going to watch it for $20, and it's not like it's the kind of movie where you've got to see it on the big screen. You know, it's not Wicked where the big screen and theater experience is going to make a difference. And that's what's held back the movie business, is even the event tentpole films are available relatively quickly. For less money. If you're me and you've got a membership, you're saying, well, I'm not going to pay $20 for a movie. I'll wait for it to come out on one of the streaming services I pay for. But for anybody who's not single, if there was going to be two of you going to the movies, you're saving money. And that's what I think is holding things back. And I don't know how the movie business gets back to, I mean, it's been a long time since they had packed theaters Friday night, Saturday night. Part of it is too many showings of films. In trying to be convenient for people at a time that works for them, you've got half-empty theaters. So you could have gone to the movies at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and both could have been filled, but then when you've got it at 7:20, 8:15, 9:40. You know, you've got all these extra showings because you're trying to make it so that people can go when they can get there. Well, you're going to have half-filled, quarter-filled theaters. And there have been times that I've gone to the movies and I've been the only one in there or just a couple of other people. I was in a movie once at the old Wareham flagship where the film broke with 20 minutes to go. And I went and told the front desk, and they're like, well, can we just give you a gift certificate to come back another time and see the rest of it? I'm like, there's only 20 minutes. Just fix the film. But they were like, eh, it's not really worth it for one person being in the movie theater. Well, I kept complaining until they finally did fix it because that was the time that I had to go and see the movie. I wasn't coming back to sit through, you know, another 2 hours just to get to the last 20 minutes. But anyway, I think that the movies are getting to be in a better position. But I don't know how much they're ever going to fully come back when the prices are too much for so many people. The concessions are too much for so many people. And the almost immediacy of streaming makes people reluctant to go out and spend the money. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break here and be back in a few moments. If I can use it. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. And we'll talk to you in all those variety of ways coming up in just a little bit. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
With weeks left in office, President Biden pardons his son. President-elect Trump threatens countries with tariffs. And if you missed Black Friday, there's always Cyber Monday.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden has decided to pardon his son, Hunter. Biden said in a statement Sunday that no reasonable person who looked at the facts in his cases can reach a conclusion that Hunter wasn't singled out because he's the president's son, adding that it's wrong. He said there was an effort to break Hunter, which in turn meant trying to break the president, and that there was no reason to believe it will stop here. The news comes as President Biden has said previously he would not use his authority to pardon or commute Hunter's sentence for his conviction on federal gun charges. Hunter is also set to be sentenced later this month in a separate criminal case after pleading guilty in September on federal tax evasion charges, with a pardon covering both the gun charges, conviction, and guilty plea. A top White House official says the U.S. is pushing for a ceasefire agreement that includes the release of the remaining hostages in Gaza. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan insisted the U.S. is involved in ongoing talks with both sides in the hopes of stopping the fighting between Israel and Hamas. Sullivan's comments come a day after the militant group released a video of Israeli-American hostage Eden Alexander, in which he could be heard pleading with President-elect Trump to secure his release. Trump is threatening a coalition of non-Western countries with 100% tariffs if they abandon the U.S. dollar. The BRICS coalition includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. On Saturday, Trump said he wants the coalition to promise that they will not create a new currency or back any other currency besides the U.S. dollar, and warned if they do, he'll impose huge tariffs. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning about salmonella-contaminated cucumbers. Almost 70 people have been infected in 19 states. While 18 people have been hospitalized, there have been no deaths. Five people in Massachusetts have been confirmed with the bacteria. The sun-fed or agrietado-labeled cucumbers were sold between October 12th and November 26th. Children younger than 5, adults 65 and older, and people with weakened immune systems are at the greatest risk. The Thanksgiving box office has hit an all-time high. Deadline says the five-day haul over the Thanksgiving holiday is over $420 million this year as people flock to U.S. theaters to see Moana 2, Wicked, and Gladiator 2. That breaks the record set back in 2018 when Ralph Breaks the Internet was in U.S. theaters over the Thanksgiving holiday. And it's Cyber Monday, the online shopping extravaganza that follows Black Friday. Retailers across the globe are offering deep discounts on a wide range of products, from electronics to clothing. Cyber Monday has become a major shopping event, with many people taking advantage of the deals to finish their holiday shopping. If you're looking to save some money, now might be the time to shop online.
WBSM Sports.
It's a good Sunday for the Bruins. They beat Montreal 6-3, and they're home to face the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday. Not so good for the Celtics. They lost last night to the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-111, a game with the Miami Heat at TD Garden tonight at 7:30. Patriots lost to the Colts 25-24. They're off to Arizona to play the Cardinals on Sunday the 15th.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cold out there today. Highs on the South Coast just making the upper 30s, maybe 40 in some spots. Colder than average for this time of year by about 10 degrees. Clear skies and sunny, but rain likely on Wednesday. And then that'll be followed by even colder temperatures heading into the weekend, just making the low to mid 30s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand. still. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons, and you've got your lies, and you've got your manipulations.
And welcome back in. That, of course, is Tonic. And I don't know if I remember any other Tonic songs. Maybe there were some others, but that's the only one I remember. But, hey, that's a good one to have. So, by the way, I went out and experienced some live music over the weekend, kind of unexpectedly. Because on Thanksgiving, when I arrived at my sister's house, my dad said to me, he goes, hey, I've got tickets for Jason Bonham on Saturday at Foxwoods. Do you want to go? Now, I'm not big into Led Zeppelin. I've always found them to be overrated. But, I was assuming we were going to go together. He's like, I have tickets to that and the beer festival. I was like, oh, that'll be a fun day. Let's go do both. But I ended up not being able to go, so I just went by myself. Spent a couple hours at the beer festival before. And I mean, maybe I've been spoiled by the Providence beer festivals I used to go to before they got big. I haven't been in probably, 2024? Probably 20 years since I've been to the beer festival they would do in Providence at the convention center. But we used to go every year. Myself and my friends and my brother, who would be our designated driver because he was under 21. And then when he turned 21, we stopped going. So sorry, Mike. But we would have a fun day that involved a lot of sampling because the lines weren't that long. But this one they do at Foxwoods, man, the lines are long. They moved relatively quickly, but still. But I've gone to a few of the different things like that they've done there. I've gone to their cocktail carnival. I think this is my second beer festival there. And while I like being able to go and sample all kinds of things, it's a lot of IPAs, and I'm just not an IPA person. And the other thing about this beer festival they do there is it's a lot of like the brands you can get anywhere. You don't get to try things that are craft or small business or anything like that. And here it was, Small Business Saturday. But still had fun. And then Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience was fantastic. So I'd recommend going out and seeing them if you get a chance. But yes, it was Small Business Saturday after Black Friday. Today is Cyber Monday. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So it's all up to you, you know, how you want to spend your money. If you want to go out on Black Friday and get all of those deals at the major retailers. There was a bunch of photos going around of empty Walmarts. Like, see, this is Black Friday at Walmart. A lot of those photos were fake. They were photos that were taken previously to Friday morning. But I did talk to some people who went out shopping and said, yeah, the crowds weren't as big as they were in the past. And one person that I talked to said they mentioned that to one of the cashiers, and the cashier said, well, that's because we've had all of these items have been online for 2 weeks now at these prices. So unless you cared about physically picking up the item and not having it shipped, you know, maybe you're buying something as a surprise for somebody in the household and you don't want the Amazon package to arrive. Or you don't want the Walmart.com package to arrive and have them be, oh, what's that? Don't worry about it. But yeah, I think that the fact that Black Friday sales start at the beginning of November in a lot of cases have people saying, well, what's the point of getting up and going out on the day after Thanksgiving? I also think that because Black Friday came so late in the month this year, that had an effect because a lot of people are like, I'm not waiting until November 29th to start my to do any Christmas shopping. I want to be done by then. So I think that played a part as well. But hopefully that didn't stop you from getting out and supporting small businesses on Small Business Saturday. And now with it being Cyber Monday, I guess, do you really need to take advantage of these sales if they've been going on all month? I'm sure there'll be some things. This is usually the day I scour some of the audiovisual websites to see if there's things that I need. You know, not like I'm going to make any major purchases, but the little adapters that we use here in the radio business for our headphones, those are like gold around here. Well, literally mine are gold. They're gold plated because those are just the ones that I bought. But I always keep an eye out on online sales for those because, you know, you can get those for $2. I'm going to get 20 of them. Otherwise, they're like $6 or $8. I keep one in my pocket all the time just in case. But that's like the most valuable thing at a radio station, for sure. But I don't know what else, you know, I'd be looking for on a Cyber Monday. I guess, you know, if you are somebody who is shopping for gifts for people, yeah, you might go on and just kind of scroll and see what they have and say, yes, that's something that I would buy and that's something that they would like. But for me, nah, just feels like it's going to lead to unnecessary purchasing for me. I don't have that kind of money. 508-996-0500. Did you go out and take part in any of the shopping on Friday or Saturday? Are you going to engage at all in Cyber Monday today? Let me know. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM apps. You know, speaking of cyber, we have the technology for you to be able to send us your answers without even having to call in. Of course, some of the great features brought to you by South Coast Towing, the sponsors of the WBSM app. Right now, I'm going to take my next break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Of course, that's Christopher Cross with Michael McDonald. And if you have the Max app, there's a new documentary, and that's D-O-C-K, documentary, that's been released on the genre known as yacht rock. And if you're not familiar with the history of the term yacht rock, it came to being in the early 2000s based on a web series. I found this web series in the early days of YouTube, but I guess it predates even that. It was released on a website even before YouTube existed. But when YouTube first started, I was, you know, watching videos that I guess had been around for a little while, but, you know, it was kind of my first access to it. Things like, what was it, Chad Vader? What was one of the other ones I liked? Oh, yeah, House of Cosby. This is before all the Bill Cosby stuff came out. It was just a cartoon series in which a man wanted Bill Cosby to be his dad, so he cloned Bill Cosby, and then he kept cloning the clones, and it was like Multiplicity, but with Bill Cosby. And of course, Yacht Rock was one of the biggest ones. And watching, you know, Kenny Loggins, you know, these guys, these comedians playing Kenny Loggins, Michael McDonald, Christopher Cross, getting into fights with Hall and Oates. I know they were some of the big bad guys of it. I'm trying to think of who else were the bad guys. But it was just zany and it was funny. And it made you appreciate a lot of songs you'd forgot about. And it kind of dubbed this genre of music, this late 70s, early 80s, kind of, I'd use the term easy listening, but that's not really necessarily fair because some of the songs are pretty rocking, just not too rocking, as they say, is the rules for yacht rock. And the guys who created the web series came up with a whole list, they had a graphic for a while that was like, yacht rock, not yacht rock. And over the years, they've gotten into some of the explanation as to why that is, but they get into it a bit in the documentary. And it's a lot of fun. It's basically a love letter to that style of music and how it's made a comeback. So if you liked, you know, the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, Christopher Cross, Kenny Loggins, all of that, you've got to see this documentary. A lot of the artists are involved in it. The guys who created Yacht Rock are involved in it. It was produced by Bill Simmons, the former Boston sports guy, who now runs The Ringer and has the Music Box series on Max. And those documentaries have all been very good. But this one was, you know, just... There's not a lot of controversy around the Yacht Rock world. So it's not one of those documentaries where... You know, it's going to be behind the music. And then it all came crashing down. Like, it was really just, it was a genre of music that wasn't sustainable once the video revolution came out because a lot of the yacht rock singers were not photogenic enough. But you realize, too, how integral so many of those people involved in that genre were in so many hits of the time. It was like one working nucleus that was in the DNA of all of that soft rock, we'll just use that term, of the day. And I was walking away from watching it thinking, you know what? If people learn anything from that documentary, it's how many people are going to be surprised to learn that basically the band Toto is the backing band on Michael Jackson's Thriller. I forget when I found that out, but when I did, I was blown away by it. And I was like, people are going to be surprised to learn that. That basically Toto, you know, Hold the Line, Rosanna, Africa. That's the backing band. Because everybody that was in that group, more or less, was involved in the production of, I shouldn't say everybody, but the main musicians and songwriters in that group were involved in the production of Thriller because they all worked with Quincy Jones, who was producing the album. And in fact, Steve Porcaro is the one who wrote Human Nature. And they play the original demo in the documentary. So very, very interesting stuff. Well worth your watch if you're into that kind of music. And even if you're not, it'll give you an appreciation for it. I remember when I was, you know, younger, I knew Christopher Cross more for Sailing and Arthur's Theme. But then the first time I heard Ride Like the Wind, I was like, oh, I like this. And of course, I've always liked Michael McDonald's voice. So check out that documentary if you're into that kind of music at all, or if you don't know much about it. And I think you'll enjoy it. Going to take one final break here. We'll be right back. And there's some more yacht rock for you, which, of course, got sampled in Warren G's Regulate, which is because a lot of those hip-hop artists of the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, those were the albums they were finding in dollar bins. They talk about this in the Yacht Rock documentary, and that's why they were using those to sample. And plus, they were songs that they grew up listening to. And they infused themselves in the kind of their musical sensibilities. So they gave some of those songs more credibility than they might have had it not been for them sampling them. So anyway, yeah, it's a good documentary. Worth your time. And I'd ask the question, what's your favorite yacht rock? I won't be as strict about the rules as what counts as yacht rock and what doesn't as the yacht rockers who created the series would, but